Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Oh, you all know what's happening. It's Tuesday, October 29th, 2019. Brady Wright, Shane Osborne, and Steve, the producer, Johan, joining a galaxy of listeners.
Galaxy, I like that, like the car.
The entire galaxy of Ford listeners on this 109th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Glad you are here. Our first segment is always called Back to the Blacktop, so why should today be any different? Steve Johan has automotive news, information, and other stuff that he made up on the spur of the moment. As usual, what do you got?
Well, I thought we'd talk about the ins and out of job stability within the auto industry.
Oh, perfect.
First up is Ford Motor Company announced it will cut about 450 jobs at its Oakville assembly plant in Ontario, Canada.
Ah.
The company is discontinuing production of the Ford Flex and the Lincoln MKT crossover.
Yes. They're stopping the Flex?
Yes.
The world's second ugliest station wagon?
Gosh.
They're stopping the Flex?
Isn't that just a giant SUV?
Well, it's not really. I mean, I guess it's an SUV by
it's kind of
loose
a
definition. It looks like a station wagon
with
corrugated aluminum sides. I mean, it's a real. I've never.
It has not been a big hit.
Well, you know, apparently they were selling a reasonable number of them for a while, but I just thought the styling was really strained and hard to look at
right.
And everything. All accounts were that it was a fairly decent car, but not so much in the sales department.
Well, enough to drop 450 jobs.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's
tough.
A tough
one.
And the good news is General Motors Company workers are heading back to work this week after the longest and most expensive strike in half a century. While union bargainers turn their attention to Ford Motor Company. So, my gosh. Just lay off 450.
With an axe to grind over there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So off they go. We're going to trot over to Ford Motor Company, and they're going to hit them with the same thing.
Same guys. They just changed the name on the sign.
Yeah. UAW for Ford. They got just to flip the signs around,
right,
I think.
Yeah. Insert name of dealer of your choice.
Yes. Gosh.
Unfair to somebody.
But I don't blame the guys and gals. I mean, they need to get some upgrades in their, especially when they were agreed way back when they got bailed out.
Yeah, that's right.
And they haven't got paid back for that. So
that's true.
Now, there are some recall notices.
Oh, boy. This is getting to be our most
unpopular or popular part.
Yeah, it's like yet another recall. What is it this
time? Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Fiat Chrysler issued a recall of about 160,000 diesel-powered Ram pickups due to a problem with coolant leaks that could catch fire.
160,000, that's actually not that many.
Yeah.
I mean, in the grand,
picture. I know, but 160,000.
Well, I know, but that's a fixable deal.
It is, and the action is for the Ram 1500 models from 2014 through 2019.
Okay.
The vehicles are primarily sold in U.S. and Canada.
Okay.
And then Subaru of America is recalling
more. I'm sorry, wait a minute. Back up just a second. So these are the Rams. Did it say what the issue is?
Yeah, they said it was a coolant leak that could catch fire.
Okay.
So now, I didn't know coolant actually caught fire because I thought it was like got water in it.
Well, it's chemicals. It's not so much water.
Have you ever seen any antifreeze burn before?
No.
Or are they using some kind of an antifreeze that actually
be... Well, it's glycine alcohol.
Yeah, I didn't think that you could burn that, but...
Well, alcohol burns. Alcohol burns just fine.
Okay, yeah. And
so
if there's enough heat...
I suppose.
...at the right place. But anyway...
It's dripping on the exhaust
Exhaust manifold. That's what I'm thinking it is. Exactly. And then Subaru of America is recalling more than 450,000 late model Imprezas, Crosstreks, and two separate actions... They, as many as 466,000 vehicles in all.
Half a million cars.
Yeah, in a statement to the National Highway Safety Traffic Administration. So, man, oh, man. And I didn't see exactly what the reason was, but this is something that's been going on for a while. And then here's another thing. This one has been going on for a while. The Ford Motor Company issued three safety recalls. 319,000 Ford Transit vans replaced crack-prone drive shaft couplings that were subject of a recall in 2017. So apparently what it is the plans are swap the flexible couplings with mechanical U-joints.
Okay.
But until the necessary repair parts are available, the dealers are installing the flexible couplings still.
So they're just giving you a new coupling.
Yes, they are.
Well, that's better than nothing.
But
if they know they're going to fail, at least you're on the list for when the mechanical ones
come
in.
Okay, so now let's think about this. My 2000 Astro van, I think it was a 20. I had the 97, and then I T-boned that and got a 2000. They had a situation, which was the same thing with the Suburbans. They put plastic gaskets on the head.
Okay.
So they disintegrated because of the heat.
Sure.
Well, I went back in, replaced it, and they put back the old-fashioned metal-sleeved cork-style gasket that's not going to...
It'll last forever, basically.
Right. So why did it come... Why am I asking this? Why do you put a flexible something or other when you need to put steel U-joints? You've got U-joints, I got universal joints, and they've got 200,000, 300,000 miles, and they haven't broke down.
Quieter. It'll be quieter. But see, the thing is, that's not the only criteria.
They save 5 cents on the part.
And there you go, see? 5 cents over half a million
160,
cars.
Yeah, now a half a million cars come back and bite them in the butt.
Well, yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
the CEO at that time, you know what, and here's the thing, the CEO at that time probably got a lot of shares, made off like a bandit, and now the new CEO has to pick up the pieces.
It's a commie plot.
It is. It's corporate. But anyway, here's a fun one. The third one
is... A fun recall?
Well, the second is 431 edges for incorrectly crimped seatbelt pretension or anchors. So... 430,000 edges, Ford edges.
The Ford edge, yeah.
For incorrectly crimped seatbelt pretensioner anchors. I'm not kidding you.
I'm sure you're not.
Someone's inspecting going,
well, you gotta.
Hey, look, this is not done correctly.
The safety stuff does get pretty carefully inspected.
It does.
As well it should.
But 430,000 cars went out the door without somebody noticing this?
Well,
that's what happens when you don't pay your workers top dollar. They stop caring.
I don't know if you can blame that one on the workers, because those are all machine installed.
Could be a machine install.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a wrong setting on a piece of CNC machinery or something that, you know, a robot.
The tension doesn't come down enough, and it doesn't crimp it correct. And if you do too much, it cuts it off. Who knows?
Yeah.
And then the last is 2019 Expeditions and Lincoln Navigators due to a rear toe link fastener that was not properly tightened. So they caught, hey, good, 18. They caught it right away.
Only 18 of them?
Only 18 of them.
Well, heck, that's a weekend. That's easy.
That's awesome. I wish they would catch them the head of them like that on everything.
The funny part about it is they're making that a headline. We saved 18.
Anyway, 18.
There's half a million of them that
we're
are
doing
dying,
our job finally.
18.
We're catching. Yes. Yeah. Well... You'll like this, and we've been talking about this for a long time. You know who Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak is?
Of course.
Well, he was all excited about AI and autonomous cars and all that. Well, he's reversed course and has gone from fanboy to skeptic about several key technology, including AI and autonomous driving.
Right.
He doesn't see fully driving vehicles in his lifetime.
Maybe not.
He was speaking at an automotive technology conference in Las Vegas when he made these statements. And after years of believing, he has resigned himself to believing it won't happen anytime soon. And folks,
It's just going to take a while.
The test, AAA have tested these things, and even with somebody sitting in it, they smack somebody on
there's a video right now. I saw it on the news tonight just before I came down here. There's the automatic braking systems.
That's what we were talking about last week.
Yeah, there's several tests where these things don't always work. They don't work at night, so they can center punch some guy and knock him across
exactly.
the intersection. And you know, it's nice to have the technology. I'm all for
me too.
The research and you know finding these things. But you know, until you know 101% that this thing works every time, you can't. Release it.
You can't
put it on a vehicle. You can't tell somebody your car will stop and not hit this guy in the crosswalk.
And if they're going to put these on semi trucks,
yeah, exactly.
And you're carrying that much load,
well, it wouldn't matter though. I mean,
in a mining and out in the middle of Nullarbor Plains, you could do it where there's nothing, but not here in.
Well, but
City
you wouldn't
Seattle.
Have an emergency stop out there either. So,
no, you wouldn't
run into a yak. I don't know what...
Yak. Hey, not in Australia.
Thanks for tuning
Kangaroo.
In. Hey, come on up. We got an update on the RSC Rat Rod build-off from Kevin Martin in Spokane and a bunch of other cool stuff. So don't go away. This is Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Yak.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View, and this week we're checking in with Kevin Martin in Spokane, Washington.
Spokane, Washington.
That's right. On the progress of RSC Rat Rod Build-Off. This thing is really taking off. What's the latest, Kevin, on the RSC Rat Rod Build-Off?
The latest is we're seeking parkas and sweatshirts because it's cold here.
No kidding. Is that and
to,
coffee.
Is lots that to be able to work on your rigs?
Lots of coffee.
Oh, they give me a bad time because I keep my shop like it's 70. But, yeah, for the most of the guys, it's a chilly building season, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, and so for people who aren't aware, Kevin's in Spokane, Washington. Spokane is in the eastern part of our fine state, and it's in the singles over there now. You officially have winter, is that not correct?
We officially have winter. We've had snow stick and a couple times now.
Yeah. Yes, sirree. Well, yeah, it's not the time that you'd want to be building anything under a carport in, you know, outside. But so when last time we talked, you had a pretty good number of people involved. I think the number 40 sticks in my head. But give us kind of a rundown of where the project is, and as a matter of fact, let's kind of go back and talk a little bit about what this whole thing started out as, just so that we can catch everybody up.
You bet. This was kind of a friendly, fun little nudging wager between a friend of mine, Sean Barter, and myself. Sean builds really, really nice cars, very high-end fabricator.
He does.
I challenged him. I told him, and actually to his wife, I said that you can't build something nasty and rusty and
that's right.
Sloppy-like. And that's where this started, is he accepted the challenge. We gave each other a heck of a bad time, and then it grew within our group. And the more and more people watched this on the internet and banter each other, the more and more people wanted to be involved. So we opened it up nationwide.
Yeah, and so the criteria is a $4,000 build limit, and
that's correct.
And you got to run it for 1,000 miles, essentially.
That's also correct.
Mm-hmm. And so it started out with a couple of you guys, and then pretty soon it was 10 or 12 guys, and then pretty soon, because of the internet, because of people getting, you know, excited about it, you got people from all over the place. You got people from Canada, do you not?
I do.
And anybody from south? Nobody driving up from south of the border?
Not south of the border, no. I've got them as far away right at the moment as West Virginia.
That's wow. Pretty impressive. Yeah. That's more than 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
Just to get to the run, he's going to win.
Yeah, And it's grown to, I checked before you called, it's up to 50 official entries.
Nice.
We've got 21 paid already.
Super. Super. So it's a $100 buy-in, right?
It is.
And again, they got a $4,000 limit. So basically, it's beg, borrow, steal, trade, barter, whatever it takes to get parts and pieces for this thing. Are there any other criteria for the build besides? I mean, obviously, people can go to the RSC and Rat Rods and More Facebook page and get the stuff. But as long as we're on the phone, what are the criteria besides just the dollar value?
Pre-war car, where we and technically I know some people get me on this, but it's going to be a 1940 or older.
Okay.
Pre-war, what we're going to call pre-war, original patina body.
Okay.
No paint, no pinstripe, no door signs. No
not even a
cars,
sticker?
You know, military or fire truck or whatever.
Right.
As far as the body goes, anything else goes as long as it's within budget.
Okay. So no limits on power, no limits on construction. It can be, it literally can be built out of, you know, I mean, you know, the Johnny Cash special was, that's kind of the obvious thing.
Yep.
Now,
that's the goal, actually.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting to me is it's called the Rat Rod 1000. So where do people meet and what is the destination? Because they have to drive these things 1,000 miles. So talk to us about this.
Well, it's our group, obviously, will be leaving from Spokane, Seattle, Oregon, Montana, Idaho. But what the goal is you need to have your 1,000 miles in prior to arriving in Red Lodge, Montana.
Okay.
So we're only 550 miles away, so we're going to take a southern Idaho, northwestern Utah route to try to hook up with the teams coming from Arizona, Los Angeles.
Got it.
We've got some guys in Utah and get our miles in prior. There's been talk recently about adding a drive day, a 200 to 300 mile drive day, say Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Before the weekend, and allow two things. Allow guys to get more miles if they need them. And secondly, give us all an opportunity to cruise together. That's what this is all about. And just find some killer back road route somewhere in the middle of Montana and just go have fun. Those guys that are skeptical that this car can do it or not do it, we're all going to do it. So we're going to do it at highway speeds and give a guy an opportunity to prove his worth.
Sure. And obviously you're going to have a chase truck and a couple of, you know, trailers, I'm sure, follow along behind just in case. I mean, you got safety in your minds.
Multiple.
Yeah.
How do you know that people aren't using their chase vehicles to get their car there and claiming that they've driven the 1,000 miles?
Okay. Scout's honor.
That's a good question. It's come up multiple times. I don't want this to be that stringent, rule-ridden build-off. So we're gonna trust people. We're gonna use good old-fashioned honesty and hope that guys will hold to it. I know with the group of guys that I run with that if there's any speculation of that, they will be called out in front of. I can promise you that.
you know what you ought to do. I'm sure everybody's going to be square. I mean, it'll be fine. You ought to have somebody make up some patches that say "I drove mine," and everybody ought to get one just as a part of.
Yeah,
well, that's what we do. If you followed the Rat Rod format that we've done, we did the Rat Rod 500, the Rat Rod 600.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
year it'll be 1,000, and
go.
We do have a Survivor patch.
There you go. There you go. That's
and trick. That year's being 2021. That will be the Rat Rod 1001.
Perfect. Perfect.
And we will have Survivor patches for
Absolutely.
The folks that do this.
That's great.
And that's another thing is when does this take place?
I'd have to look at the exact dates. I believe it's the third weekend in July 2021.
So we are still talking a year and a half off, but we're building this thing up for everybody.
Very much. And here's why. And this is there's about, I was just counting before we went on here, I've got 9 to 11 guys. We are challenging ourselves to build these cars and drive them this coming April to Las Vegas for the Rat Rod 1000.
Of
there
course.
You go.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It gives you a year to work the bugs out. It
yep.
gives something for my group. We challenge each other. We like to build cars in 6 months. We usually do them right after SEMA gets over, so first week of November, and drive them by first week of May. Well,
there
we're going to have to shut a month out. We're leaving April 7th.
Ah, Well, that's a little pressure, but that's okay. It's nice. For a first-time builder, this probably wouldn't be the thing, but somebody who's done it, you know, a few times and has, you know, they understand that there's going to be some bugs that they can work out. You got kind of a plan in the back of your head, and that's a good way to do something like this, because you know that there's going to be some. Plus, you can't always guarantee that you're going to find part X, you know, just exactly when you want it. So sometimes you may have to, you know, drop back and punt, which is half the fun of building a car anyway.
Right. And then that's where the time frame came from. The budget, the time frame, the style, the entry fee, it's all designed to include everyone. So not everyone can build a car in a year. Not everyone has the time, has the budget, has the, you know, the spare change. So that's why we decided to do a two-year build-off. This started this started in May. So it was a little over 2 years.
That is super. Well, I know, you know, for the people who've got a shop and power and all that kind of stuff, this is great. For the guys, well, like me, you know, who are building something under a carport out the side of the place, it's even more fun because you gotta find exactly the right way to do it and the when.
Brady, what year is yours?
What, my truck?
Yes.
It's a 41 Jimmy.
You missed it by a year.
I know. We can talk about it another time. I'm not going to make this particular run.
Can you put a 40 front end on it?
Grill? It's got a 40 cab, but it's titled as a 41. So Kevin won't let me play. That's all right.
Okay.
We'll do another way. Hey, Kevin, you got another couple of minutes. We're going to take a break, but we're going to keep yakking about this after the break if you got another few minutes.
You got it.
Excellent. All right. Well, you are listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and we're going to be jumping back and talking with Kevin about the rat rod, RSC rat rod build-off after the break. And we also have another story from the old Car Nut books and a bunch of other cool stuff, including the greatest trivia question ever heard by ears of man. Do not go away. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I'm jumping in with my clothes off!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Hey, we are back. It's the second half of the Windshield View. We are talking with Kevin Martin from the RSC group, that's Ratchet Crazy People, in Spokane, Washington. And he's telling us some of the latest update on the RSC Rat Rod build-off, which is coming up. Well, it's in process, but it actually is going to happen in 2021. Kevin's back. How you doing, Kevin?
Great, guys. Thanks.
Super. Hey, I was going to ask you, we talked just before the break about, the timing for the run, and you said it's like the third week of July. And if you're heading for Red Lodge, Montana as a sort of a starting point, that's actually really good timing because you're going to beat the rush to Sturgis by about 2 weeks.
That's exactly
And that's a darn good. That's a darn good piece of planning, because you
Kevin,
know,
were you even thinking about that?
You bet he was.
Yes, because I've made that run a few times.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You don't want to be.
We thought about.
You don't want to be over in eastern Montana when Sturgis is coming. You can't even get on the roads. Although, actually, if you're up in Red Lodge, you might be okay. Not that many people go up
right
to that particular.
That's true. Yeah, route. We're going to be a little off I-90. You know, they'll be running through Billings, so I think we're going
to
be golden.
What if you went to you left? How far is it from Spokane to Devil's Tower?
Oh.
It's
that's in Wyoming.
It's in Wyoming.
It's right through straight out 90.
Well, Devil's Tower's in South Dakota, isn't it?
It is, but it's
no,
right on the border.
No, it's in Wyoming.
Well, it's right on the border. It's east of Sheridan.
Yes.
You're talking 500 miles. I mean, it's a drive.
Well, if it's 1,000, you could go 500 out, camp, and 500 back.
Sure, and
you could. I'll tell you what. It really intrigues me why we want to go to Southern Idaho is the kids in the Keep Hot Rodding Alive program that are going to be doing this build off with us.
Oh yeah,
I really want to cruise with them for a day.
Part
of that.
Oh, so is he coming up? Is Kenny coming up?
They are. They have two different teams. It's super cool. They usually do one team. In fact, they just left today for the Radical Rat Rod build off.
Yeah.
Heading to Vegas.
Yeah.
But they decided to split the teams. They're doing Kenny and his other instructor. I believe it's Matt, if I'm not mistaken.
They're
splitting the teams. And so they're going to have two teams come into our build off.
Cool. So now for the people who aren't aware of this one, Kenny Earls is the big cheese in the Time Travelers Car Club, but he's also the driving force behind the Keeping Hot Rodding Alive, KHRA, which is a great logo, by the way. He's using the NHRA logo, except with a K. It's brilliant. And his program, he started off basically out of his own pocket, essentially teaching kids how to work on cars through, you know, the high school programs. And they have gotten to the point over a few years where they've got some really talented kids, and they are building a car, have built a car for SEMA. And it's their page has all of the details on the build. I won't go through it here, but it's the only car I've ever seen that was built, you know, all by the kids.
Right.
That has two sets of driving controls.
Oh, I remember that. That's right.
Are they going to bring that one up for you guys, Kevin?
No, they're going to be building two new cars.
Oh, two. Okay. For your run. Okay.
It's for our run, yes.
You've seen the one that they built for SEMA, right?
Very much so. I've been following it for
It's just awesome. Full props to Kenny for doing that whole thing. And I'm glad you guys are getting together, because you just got a lot in common.
He is fantastic.
Super.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, so you're going to go down through Southern Idaho. You're going to go past, boys, you're going to head for Utah, basically, right?
I think so, because, yeah, we've got teams coming from there. We've got Patty Fairchild out of Los Angeles, who is a small college auto body repair technician. She teaches that class. They're going to do a build-off.
Nice.
And so we want to run with all these guys. We want to spend as much time as we can with these guys, and that's why we're going way out of our way to get there.
Yeah. Well, that's worthwhile. I mean, you know, bringing the fraternity together, I mean, that's a super idea. You know, I'm kind of surprised, being from the Spokane area, I'm kind of surprised that Rochelle Stevens and the Miss Shifters aren't involved in this in some way, shape, or form. I mean, they're kind of more of a race club, but, you know, they're an all women's club that actually we were going to have Rochelle on, but she's got a migraine tonight, so she's not going to play.
We do multiple events together. We
co-host
events together. In fact, they just helped us with a fundraiser for Jaren, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They know about the event. It's not their style.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
I got to give it to them. It's just not their thing. I get it. In fact, one of the Miss Shifters runs with Brian Northcutt. It's his girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
And,
there you go.
He is in the build-off and running with us. So
nice.
She went to Nebraska with us this year, and we're very tight with those young ladies.
Super. Yeah, they're great people. Absolutely.
Well, what's really cool about this is the whole rat rod phenomena really took off. What was it, 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, easily. 10,
yeah.
I certainly.
And what it's allowed is a lot of individuals to get their hands dirty, to just throw everything in the kitchen sink. Some of these cars actually have kitchen sinks in them. that are
got to make a seat out of something.
Yeah,
don't you?
I mean, included in these rigs, and it's not about prettiness. It's about, let's get something on the road, running, and just have a heck of a lot of fun. And when you're not having to worry about paint, you're not worrying about polish and all that, that really means you can just go out and get a used this, used that, piece of this, piece of that, and just pile it together, and we've been to shows up here, and we take images of it, pictures, video, and it's just crazy. We had the rat rod infestation here at the XXX earlier, and what's so cool about it is sky's the limit.
Well, you made me think of when you said the red bastard. You made me think of one of Ron Foreman's, you know, favorite sayings. It's not what you buy; it's what you build.
That's right.
And that's if there's something that makes the whole rat rod home build crowd come together, it's that. I mean, you can literally do anything that your brain can conceive,
right?
And that's half the fun. It's more than half the fun of hot rodding in general. You get into these concourse cars and you know, ripros and stuff like that. It's great. There's a lot of rules, a lot of things you got to...
Right.
Building a car that you can drive and go cruise with your buddies, that's what the essence of hot rodding is really about. And, you know, that's why I think this is so much fun and popular.
And it's counter to the big buck rod custom, and there's nothing wrong with that, but...
No.
Most people cannot afford $60,000 to drop into a vehicle, much less pay start out with $20,000 or $30,000 into it.
Oh yeah!
And now you've got something like what you guys are doing. Now you have yours as a pre-World War II 1940 or other, but I've seen people doing rat rods with 60s and 50s cars and that kind of thing too.
Sure.
Are you have anybody in your club that's got that kind of a era, or is it all earlier?
No, Reagan Heaton here in Spokane has had a couple what I would refer to as a Ledge style big old four door.
Yeah.
You know, he had a Pontiac. We called it the Copper Streak, but it was a Pontiac Silver Streak.
Like your wife's car going to be.
Yeah, cool. In fact, it's on your side of the mountains now. And I'm trying to think of some of the other. Yes, Brett Clinton out of Tri Cities.
There you go. Yeah, that's right.
His car is.
Yeah.
Yep. So yes, there are definitely some of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to Brett over at the Monsters and Manson show. And he's got a really nice car, and it's certainly not a ratty looking car at all. It's really, you know, well done.
Well, my question is, where do you find 40 and under vehicles? Because they're not just sitting around under trees as much as
they
used to be.
Actually, that's exactly where you find them, is sitting around under trees.
Well, that's true, because you just need the body.
You look at my build.
Yeah.
We had to cut 3 trees out of my car.
Yeah.
In fact, I had to pay a gentleman to show me where the car was, because he kept telling me where it was and we couldn't find it. And it was
well
camouflaged that I had to pay him $150 to show me where this car is. They're out there. That is part of the challenge part of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Is they're out there. It's not easy. We don't want it to be easy. But believe it or not, in the 50 guys that have entered, a part of my entry form is what they're doing, and every one of them has a car. Every one of them.
I'll tell you an absolutely rat rod story. A couple of years ago, my wife and I took off. We actually were at the rat rod show in Manson, and afterwards we decided we'd take, you know, the ghost town tour through central Washington?
Right.
So there's all kinds of these little places that used to be, you know, going, and now they're just a bunch of knocked down boards. So we went to about 8 of these things, driving around through Central, through the potholes and stuff. And I'm telling you, I saw at least 5 or 6 perfectly salvageable, you know, material for rat rods out there. And if I'd had a trailer, I darn near would have pulled a couple of them out myself. They're there, you know, you just got to go and find them and see if anybody owns them and what the deal is. And, you know, Quentin Folks in Iowa literally dug one out of a riverbank.
I was going to say, we had the guy that was pulling out of the riverbank.
He dug one out of a riverbank, and he's making it.
That was the neatest thing to watch.
Is that the coolest thing in the universe? I mean, it literally was buried in the dirt up to the roof, and he dug it out slowly but surely.
All because of his grandfather.
He's a young man.
Yeah, he's 26.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? You know, why are you interested in it? It's the greatest thing. It's so cool.
It's absolutely cool. And it's something that, again, you dig it out of the ground, there's not much money in there. It's all sweat equity.
Right.
And, you know, you can bake a car if you want to. And, of course, he works at a junkyard. But
right.
So he's got access to some parts. But it's not that much different from anybody else who's just got a, you know, a wrench and a wheel. You can do it.
And when you register it, you've got to have enough of the car to be able to register it as that year. Correct?
You got to have a VIN plate. That's all you really need.
Okay. That means...
Well, a title.
Yeah.
Actually, it doesn't even take a VIN plate, to be honest with you. I mean, it's technically you should, but I don't have VIN plates on mine. It's a title associated to it, because those VIN plates are so hard to come by.
Well, plus, some of them old enough, they got a 6-number, you know, VIN, so.
Yes, yeah, you can reproduce. pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, it's true. I don't know if you are aware of this one, Kevin, but my wife, a couple of weeks ago, won a car in a raffle. And it's a 51 Hudson pacemaker, right? So it's a project car. There's stuff. I mean, it needs all kinds of stuff, but it has no title. And we're going through, we'll get one. But the power comes on. It's a 6-volt. It might start, but it has the gas tank is a Swiss cheese. So we're working on that. But that's exactly the kind of thing. I think she spent like $200 on tickets. And so that now we got a project car. And
I love it.
Amazingly, all the glass is there.
Wow.
Like, it's all there.
Wow.
I just traded a 29 Dodge 4-door sedan.
All right.
And every piece of glass is in that car but
amazing.
One.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. Yeah, Sean Barter, I ended up getting it from him out of Oregon, and he preserved that thing, and it just blows me away at some of these cars. What is that, a 90-year-old car, right?
29?
90-year-old car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just nuts.
Yeah, that is crazy. And, like you say, those cars are out there, and it's just a matter of, do you want to take the plunge and do it? And do you think that, okay, if you can't figure out everything that you need to do, you got friends? People love to, they say, you got a what? Well, wait a minute, let me come over and take a look. And all of a sudden, you've got a work crew. And, it's the level of fun. You can't do it on YouTube. You can't do it sitting in front of a video game. You can't do
it's all hands on.
You got to go out and get your knuckles dirty, and that's okay. It's an amazing experience. I have run up against my skill level many times so far, and I pretty well plan to do it again because I thought I knew how to do this. Well, all right, more research.
Well, start next spring. I'll be doing the same thing with my car. So, but. I've got to get my house all done. So,
Kevin, anyway. Back to the rat rod, to the build off for just a second. What? Obviously, we're going to continue to check in with you as time goes by and see how this thing is all working. What's your ultimate goal for this thing aside from just having it happen?
My ultimate goal. There's a few. One is to reach that 40 paid entries. Because if you do the math, if I get 40 entries at $100, the winner takes all. And he has a free car.
Absolutely.
That is super cool.
That would be great. If you got 50 people doing it, you'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. I think we're going to have 60 to 70 cars.
That would be awesome.
I think it's going to be fantastic. My ultimate goal is to have this really super cool get together in eastern Montana of like-minded people from all over the country and just tell a bunch of lies, drink a couple beers, and look at each other's stuff, because I did that in Nebraska this year at a rat rod thing, and it was the neatest thing. And I just want to kind of continue that and create our own little piece of that.
And the essence of the car hobby, the essence of the hot rod community has always kind of boiled down to just exactly that. Get together with a bunch of like-minded friends, sit around and yak, tell a couple of lies, drink a bunch of beer. Yeah, I mean, that's really it. It's camaraderie. I want to say brotherhood, but it's like-minded people doing something that they enjoy. It doesn't get any better than that.
No, and I got a quick question. We got a little bit, not much time here, but is this a family friendly? So can you bring,
sure.
I know a lot of these rigs aren't necessarily set up with four seats, but do any of you bring along your wives or kids or anything into this?
Very much so. All of the above. In fact, Phil from the club over there on that side brought his daughter to four of our drives this year.
Emma,
my knowledge is all the way to Nebraska.
In fact, I got an Emma story for you. Phil's daughter Emma was the one who pulled the winning ticket out of the raffle for my wife to win the car.
Oh, that is cool.
There's
many wives. Just mine will be flying to Vegas since we're going in April.
Yeah.
And she does not want to hit the snow that I think we're going to hit on the way to Vegas. But
very
much so. It'll be kids, families, wives, all of the above.
Super. Well, Kevin, hey, we really appreciate you taking some time and talking about us, about the build. Again, there's the RSC Rat Rods and More Facebook page. You can go and take a look at this thing and see what's going on. If you got the hankering to build a car, hey, Kevin would love to have you. And, 2021 is not that far away. So get yourself some wrenches and grab yourself a car out of the mud, and you're on the way. Kevin, thanks a bunch. Glad to talk with you tonight.
You bet. Thank you, gentlemen.
Right on, man.
You bet. That was so cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we're going to check in with Kevin again. This is not going to be the end of this story.
Always.
You are listening to the greatest automotive info show in the known world, because we said so. We got a pretty cool hot rod story you can tell your friends. That's up next. This is Horsepower, Chrome and Rust.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org.
It's time for Cars Confidential, and what a surprise. A hot rod story from a different book.
Oh,
what
no.
A different book.
What a surprise.
What's up this week,
well,
Brady?
This week, I got personally approved by Lance Lambert to do another story from Confessions of a Car Guy.
This perfect.
Fenders, Fins, and Friends. And he's got such a great bunch of stories, it's really easy to find a good one. This one is actually a relatively short story, but it's a good one. It's called Rocket in the Road, and... it just in case you want to look this up in your own copy of the book, because I know you have one. It's on page 34.
Kind of reminds me of a song.
No,
by
54. 54
Elton
was
John,
a good year.
Rocket Man.
Rocket in the Road. Yes.
Okay.
Rocket Man in the Road. So friends and acquaintances assume, since I make my living writing about old cars and producing TV programming about old cars, that I'm knowledgeable about the repair and upkeep of old cars. Believe me, that assumption is wrong. This is Lance here.
This is Lance.
Yeah. Lance does not. We do not want Lance fixing our car.
No.
Looking at your car is great. Even
giving it an estimate.
An estimate, yes. Fine. Many decades ago, I was the proud owner of a very nice 1954 Oldsmobile Rocket 88 two-door hardtop. It was black, lowered 3 inches, and shod with reversed wheels.
Mm.
For readers not versed in old car coolness, lowering a car makes it look better and ride worse. And adding reversed wheels makes the car look better but destroys wheel bearings. Just so you're all clear here.
Yes.
Perhaps an appropriate analogy is when women and some men wear high heels. It looks great, but it's really bad for your health.
So,
cowboy boots.
Or so, platform shoes from the 70s.
Yeah, let's please not start. So there I was, driving along Tacoma's 6th Avenue, the main cruising street for all of T-Town's North End young road devils. The 3.5-mile asphalt and concrete strip was home to several traditional 60s-style drive-in restaurants, including Frisco Freeze, Bush's, and King's.
Oh.
I guess back then they were just drive-ins, since it was the 60s when I had this experience. The endless cruising started at Frisco Freeze, which, by the way, is still there.
Wow.
Frisco Freeze is cool. and at the east end of the Ave, and that ended up then, or rather sort of provided the turnaround spot for the return trip at King's Drive-In, which is located very close to the Narrows Bridge, also known as Galloping Gertie of the collapsing suspension bridge fame. You can find the video on YouTube.
Oh, yes.
Many times it looks like somebody's flipping a rubber band around. It was a warm summer afternoon, and along for the ride was my good friend Daryl, another car-crazed teenager from the ranks of Tacoma's less-than-stellar youth. That's a nice turn of a phrase, less-than-stellar. All was well until the Oldsmobile indicated it was time to replenish the fuel system. The local shop... It's the sound of the Oldsmobile. Want to hear that again?
No.
Good.
No.
No. The local Shell station came into view, and I signaled my intended turn into the lane when suddenly the Black Beauty decided that it was not going anywhere. It made all of the appropriate noise when the gas pedal was pressed, but it just sat there thundering thanks to the well-worn exhaust system. Now, as stated earlier, my mechanical expertise is a bit lacking. It was obvious to me which end of the car housed the engine and where the hole was located to pour gas into, but beyond that, I was at a loss.
Is he saying he just ran out of gas?
He says he didn't know for sure.
Oh, okay.
Daryl, thankfully, being a bit of a stout and sturdy fellow, helped me push the gazillion-pound Detroit-built carcass into the gas station. From out of the garage sauntered the on-duty mechanic, who asked if he could be of assistance. This was back when service stations were not just places to buy 3 gallons of gas for under a buck. They also had people there who worked on cars rather than just selling you beef jerky and a 62-ounce cup of
God,
soda.
I remember those days.
Yeah. They had uniforms and stuff.
Yes.
Usually, mechanics of that era were scruffy guys named Earl, who had the ability to diagnose any automotive malady just by the sound of the motor. I was confident that this particular Earl was not going to let me down. He listened intently to my description of the Oldsmobile's dilemma and then rendered his verdict. It might not be operating properly due to the fact that your driveline is laying out there in the street.
Oh!
Yes, just as he had stated, there in the middle of one of the most traveled thoroughfares in town was my car's former driveline. The driveline, in case you've forgotten or never knew, is a long metal tube that connects the transmission to the rear wheels and causes the car to move forward, backwards, or sideways if you've overestimated your driving skill. Earl diagnosed the cause of the problem to be either a worn U-joint, don't ask me what that is, or the result of excess exuberance by the car's owner when accelerating. My guess is that it was a combination of both theories.
Oh, jeez.
We pushed the broken chariot into the garage, where Earl began doing things that to this day seem very mysterious to me. It turned out to be an easy fix, and Daryl and I were quickly able to return to the goal of the evening, arriving at each of the drive-ins in the grand manner that only a couple of mechanically deficient 17-year-old kids can accomplish.
I'm going to tell you, I gotta interrupt real quick.
Oh, it's done. That's the story.
I can't imagine today pulling in anywhere... The mechanic looks out on this, let's just say it's 99 here in Linwood, and goes, I see your problem. The drive line's sitting out there. Let's go snag it. Hang out, guys, for the next hour and a half.
While I fix it. Yeah, good luck. First off, they wouldn't have any tools.
Well, they
don't have no mechanical. There's service stations anymore. They don't have
right,
garages.
But even if you pulled into a normal garage, you're going to say, oh, yeah, that'll be about 2 days. In a couple days.
That. Yeah, there is that.
I mean, the fact that this guy was able to do it,
yeah,
and he probably did it for a song and a dance, knowing back in those days.
Well, if they left in that same evening,
yes,
and had money to buy burgers, then he couldn't have charged him very much.
No.
But, you know,
a different era.
Well, it's a couple of U-joints and you know, a jack.
But that's a whole different era.
Yeah. Well, and you got to know how to do that. I mean, you know, it's easy. With a show like this, we can kind of take a flyer and say, a lot of the people listening to this show probably could do that if they had
right.
to. But you know what? Just, having the parts, B, having the mechanical ability, and C, having nobody on the lift, you know, like, I'm going to get under your car with a creeper and fix
this.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's, for whatever that Earl was, you know, wherever that guy is today, he deserves a vote of thanks.
He does.
Along with all the other Earls who do that kind
of
stuff.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So Fenders, Fins, and Friends is one of the books that Lance Lambert has done. He's got Grins, Gears, and Gasoline and a couple more. Lance and David Dickinson are two very, very wonderful local treasures in the book business, especially it has to do with hot rods. Of course, David Dickinson is the compiler of the old Car Nut book series. And both of these things are available on Amazon. You can get them on their individual websites. You can go to Lance Lambert's Vintage Vehicle Show and find links to the books there. And we don't say this, you know, often enough. We cannot possibly say it often enough, but thank you to Lance and to David for allowing us to read those stories on the air, because it's a treasure trove of great stuff. And we the show would not literally be the same without them.
Well, it's your delivery, Brady. You are so good at this.
Well, that's nice of you to say. I made all of this up. You realize there's no book here, nor story.
We got a camera on you tonight. So
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I guess you can see. Here, wait. I'll hold it. See, this is the book right here.
Right.
Just for those of you who are catching this, we have young Jake in the studio with us tonight, and he's actually a videographer, and our secret ninja plan that Steve has been working on for some time here is that we are going to have a YouTube channel, and all of this that you hear is going to be video, which is terrifying because you'll be able to see just how non-video we are. I have the perfect face for radio.
Yes.
But yeah, we're looking forward to launching the YouTube channel. It's probably sometime the first of the year.
Yep.
And it's actually going to be a lot of fun. We'll be able to bring guests in. Of course, a lot of our guests are on the phone, but many, many of them come into the studio, and we're really looking forward to being able to do this on a regular basis. We're going to attempt to get on Patreon as well, so there'll be some money involved in that. But it's really going to be terrific, and we are super excited about getting this thing off the ground that way.
And Jake and I have already been creating a whole show called Drive-By Interviews.
That's right.
And
yeah. Say hi, Jake.
Hello.
Hi, Jake.
There we go. And it's going to be really cool. It's going to go up. The channel will be I won't say anything right now, but there will be a channel and everything will be under that channel.
Wait a minute, you just said you weren't going to say anything, and then you said something. See how you are. See how
I want to make sure. It's Chrome and Rust.
All right.
That'll be our channel on YouTube.
Oh,
so Chrome and Rust.
No horsepower.
No, because we wanted to keep it short and easy. Jake had said we got to keep it short so people can remember, and I said, yep, Chrome and Rust, that'll work.
I like it.
So stick with us. We'll be right back with our fabulous trivia question and a wrap up of the show.
It is fabulous. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino, El Camino man. Only you can understand.
It's so exciting. I'm sitting right across the table from an actual El Camino man.
Yes.
Steve Biederbeck Johann is an actual El Camino
What's
man.
What's a Biederbeck?
I don't know. I thought that was your middle name. Close enough. Yeah, his El Camino is sitting in his driveway as we speak, complete with canopy ensconced.
Yes.
And we say this very, reasonably often. At some point, Steve will actually take a wrench to that car and begin to get it back running. And I have told him I am good for helping.
Thank
no matter
you.
What, we will make
You could stand out. By and help me with the Sawzall and cut that thing.
The Sawzall.
Well, we're going to cut that canopy probably apart. And,
you don't have to cut it off. It'll just come out.
Well, I can lift it off, and then I could put it up for free on Craigslist or something.
Yeah, sure. Shane will buy it and make a top for his Volkswagen
trike
out of it.
Don't
sell it. Use it to trade.
I won't sell it. I'll bet you there's somebody out there that wants one.
Absolutely. Yeah, somebody that has a 68 El Camino.
That's right.
Wants a really
It could be anywhere from 68 to 72. It
fits
that
canopy.
It's
the glass is good on it.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly good canopy.
It just needs new seal.
That's easy.
You know.
Get it. Just JB weld the thing in there. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Jeez. Hey, we got a great trivia question this week. Last week, we had a terrific trivia question. It was one of the more awesome ones. Shane, of course, knew the answer off air, but he doesn't get to win because he already has a bucket of barn find
That's
dust.
Right.
But our winner is none other than Myra, who sent me an email from Kelowna, BC. So we have a Canadian winner, ladies and gentlemen,
Woo-hoo!
The first Canadian winner. Myra, good job. The question was, what was the last automaker, the last one, to offer a cassette player as standard equipment in their vehicles? The last one. Lots of people
did.
Was
that AMC?
No. And Shane's initial guess was Lexus, because pretty late in the game, Lexus offered one, but no. It isn't Lexus. It isn't AMC. It isn't Honda. It isn't Chevrolet. It was Ford.
Oh.
Ford was the last one to offer an actual accessory. You could buy it, order it with the car.
Right.
The Lexus SC430 came with a standard cassette player until 2010.
Oh.
2010.
Yeah.
But the very last car that would be able to play a cassette was the Ford Crown Vic in 2011.
Well, now, think about the crowd that buys Crown Vics.
Oh, you're,
a lot
so
of
you're
Perry Como.
You're going to diss the Crown Vic guys? No, you
No, my son's got an 89 Crown Vic.
See? So does he listen to Perry Como?
No.
All right, so don't be beaten up on
Well, he's got a new system in there that you can use your
cassette
cell
players.
Phone with.
And it came, actually, when you ordered the cassette player, it came with a pencil, too.
Oh, yeah?
So you know why.
A what?
Are you old enough to remember cassettes?
Yes.
Remember how the thing would always, the tape
Oh,
would
I had to constantly.
You had to rewind them with a pencil.
Yes,
see, that's
yes.
what, it was a terrible joke, but I thought I'd give it a try. And
well, it took
and
me a second.
Shot
I was
me
like,
down.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah,
yes.
Jeez. All right, yes. So I got a great question. This is actually going to be good. The question for this week is a killer. All right, and I'm going to start by dropping the names of some very, very cool cars. Bentley, Bugatti, Lamborghini, Porsche. Those are some pretty high-end cars. Even Porsche. Pretty high-end cars. They have one thing in common with several other cars. One thing and one thing only. And if you know what that is, you know the answer to this week's trivia contest question. You can get with us on Facebook. You can answer a post in there. You can email us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can send us a pigeon or some other way to get the answer to us. But if you know that one, you too, yes, you too, could win the coveted chrome-plated, brass-ensconced, and
hot-dog-covered
bucket of horsepower chrome and rust barn
Come
find
on,
dust.
Come on, we know you're out
which
there.
We know
you're out
if
there.
If you sprinkle that on any vehicle, we'll quadruple the value.
That's
because
right.
People will think you found it in a barn. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Bentley, Bugatti, Lambo, and Porsche, all under one what you may or may not know. Get with us and let us know. That means we are just about done. We caught up with Kevin Martin and the RSC Rat Rod Buildoff, and we were so happy to be able to get that information out to you. Our archives are at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. We're on Spotify, iTunes, and iHeart. For Shane Osborne, Steve Johann, I am Brady Wright. Keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Next week, we do it again on another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.